Welcome back to Generations. This is a special recording. Indeed. I am one of your co-hosts, Peter.
I'm your other co-host, Aubrey.
And we're sitting here in the same room on two different microphones.
Indeed.
With two different computers because...
Indeed.
Theoretically, I could plug the one into the other, but they were set up separately and I thought it would just be easier to keep doing that.
Yeah. So here we are. We're real podcasters now.
Real podcasters.
With real fancy mics.
I mean, I don't know. They're both real fancy. They're not that fancy.
Fancier than whatever I'm using.
Well, yeah, that's true. that's because
I just have an arm that I can reach out and move back and forth.
you know, you gotta, real podcasters gotta have their microphones on boom arms so that,
right.
So that there's no desk noise or other stuff.
Right, right, of course.
But we are here together today. It is Easter Sunday. Aubrey, indeed. You came up and went and saw your mother's show last night and then hanging out today. How you been doing?
Oh, you know, just grand. Just the most extremely chill time of the semester, you know.
Yeah, totally. Super no stress chill. At all.
No stress. Things are really winding down, super chill. I have basically no homework. And I'm just feeling really free, you know.
Yeah, that's why the first thing you did when you got here yesterday was pop open your laptop and
yep.
turn in a project that you were working on.
Yep.
Because super chill is exactly how I would describe it.
Exactly. It basically is just every professor decided, oh, hey, this thing that we needed to do to wrap up the end of the semester, let's do this now. So in most of my classes, we only have a few homework assignments spread out throughout the entire semester, basically. So each homework assignment is really beefy because it's not like you have one every week. It's like you have one every 2 or 3 weeks. So they're really beefy. So, of course, since it's the end of the semester and since in these classes they also assigned a final, we have like an actual final exam and also a project, they said, hey, let's have the regular homework also be due in the same week. So it all is just happening all at the same time. So, yeah, as soon as I got here, I had to turn in a take-home final for my quantum mechanics class because it was due at 6 p.m. yesterday. So
I don't miss those days. I'm not going to lie.
I
still have nightmares about them at times. So.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'll have nightmares for a while, especially when I go to grad school and the nightmares will just never end.
I mean, I'd like to say at some point that it gets better, but it doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does, but those dreams don't go away. I still wake up and I have nightmares that I'm both a doctor, but I also have to take a final for the class that I never went to all semester. I had a dream the other day that I was on my way home from my mission.
Oh, dear.
I, for some reason, was serving my mission in England.
Uh-huh.
And so I was in the Heathrow Airport. I've never been to the Heathrow Airport, but that's the airport I was in. And it was apparently very confusing for me. And I was going to be late. And so I was calling my office manager to tell them I wasn't going to be home in time for clinic.
For clinic.
The next Monday morning. Because I was coming home from my mission.
Right, right. It all makes sense, right?
It all makes perfect sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally. But, well, so other than that, you're wrapping up. You only have, what, a couple more weeks now?
Yeah,
graduation is less than 2 weeks away.
2 weeks, yep. So 1 week of classes and then like half a week of, quote, finals, I guess. Yeah, and then I graduate May 1st.
Well, it'll be interesting. So. Your younger brother, Gareth, I think he said he's in two, maybe three classes that also have seniors in them.
What?
And so, well, yeah, because he's in like, you know, advanced chemistry I think it was his math class that he jumped ahead. He took the test during the summer so he could jump ahead a couple math classes.
Good for him.
He was just bored out of his mind in the math class that he got assigned to.
What was the math? I mean, I guess it's not going to be the same as what I was, but wasn't it like the integrated math things or something?
Yeah, he was supposed to, he got put in like, according to where he was coming from, Freshman year, it was like, oh, he should go to like integrated two or mm-hmm. something. And he just was bored out of his mind. So actually, Jess tutored him during the summer a little bit.
Oh.
And then he took the test. And I remember it was funny. He came home, or I got home from work that day, and I asked him the day he was taking the test. I was like, so how'd the test go? And he goes, oh, well, so I could get into like trig or whatever he was planning on taking. I had to get this many points on the test. I'm like, how many did you get? And I don't remember the number, but he told me, and it was like 300 points more than what he had to get.
Oh.
So I was like, I said to him, so based on that, he goes, well, based on that, I should take calculus as a sophomore.
Oh my God. What the heck? That's crazy.
That's the funny thing.
Is he in calc right now?
No, he chose to not jump forward all the way to calc.
That'd be kind of crazy.
He's taking calc next year.
Good for him. So. Good for him. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think for me it was like in, I want to say junior year, it was like pre-calc, and then senior year was AP calc for me.
Yeah.
Because they had like a trimester, like, I don't remember what it was junior year, actually, because of COVID and everything. But I'm pretty sure it was pre-calc because we barely started getting to derivatives at the end of pre-calc. And then we got into AP calc senior year. But that's crazy.
So his math class and then I think a chemistry class. I think he has at least two classes that have seniors. So basically he was pretty excited that neither of those classes will he have class the last week of school.
Yep, because they wanted to get it done for the seniors.
They got to get everything done for the seniors.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this last week of school, he'll only have like two or three classes.
That's crazy.
But anyway, well, anything you want to mention before we jump into our topic for the week?
I mean, I guess, how are you? How's your...
I'm fine. I'm good. No, I'm good.
Right.
Work is okay. Work is busy, and it's just been busy. Lots of cases, lots of big cases. And even on the days with not lots of big cases, just lots and lots of cases.
Yeah.
But that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Being busy, being able to do a lot of good.
Yeah.
So it's good. Yeah, that and your mom's show, she's got two more weeks, so that'll be winding down. I'm a little nervous for when that's over.
Oh.
Well, because in the time leading up, she had rehearsal like literally every single night.
Right.
And so this last week, she had her first performance. So she was Thursday, Saturday this last week.
Yeah.
So she didn't have anything Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night. And she was just like sitting at home. She's like, I don't know what to do. Like she'd go for a drive. She's like, oh, I'm just going to go for a drive. I don't know what to do. So I'm like, I said, what are you going to do when the show's over?
Right.
She was like, I really need to get working on IICF stuff. So the international.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, okay. But yeah, she seemed quite bored that she didn't have something to do.
There you go. I would love to be bored.
Yeah. You know, at some point in your life, I'm sure you'll get to a place where you can be bored. But this week, I thought it would be something for us that we could talk about. It's something that's been on my mind a lot lately, and it ties into a number of conversations you and I have had. We talked about like our theme, our goals and our goal setting and all this stuff. But that is the idea of journaling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say that when I was a kid, journaling was always something that we were told we should do.
Mm-hmm.
And every year I would get a new journal.
Mm-hmm.
And I very minimally wrote in said journal.
Yeah.
And I can think back to, there are at least a couple entries of my journal that I wrote as a teenager that I sincerely hope those books have been burned and cannot be found anywhere, because the cringe nature of some of these entries is like indelibly seared into my mind.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone to ever know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I really didn't have what I would refer to as a great relationship with as a younger person.
Yeah.
Now, when I served my mission, there was a big push. You know, we're supposed to write in our mission journal, and it was a part, like, it was built into our daily schedule. Here's when we're supposed to journal. Yeah. And I still don't know that I really understood the reason behind it, but I did. I was pretty good about writing. I didn't write as much my second year as I did my first year, but I still didn't fully understand what journaling was for.
Yeah.
Until I think, honestly, like the last 6 months.
Yeah.
Is when it really now has come, for me at least, to be something where I go, okay, I understand what journaling is for. Now, before I jump to the, you know, the punchline there, tell me a little bit about your history, your experience with
journaling. Yeah. So I guess, you know, diary journal is kind of whatever, same concept. But I remember when I was in maybe second grade, I want to say, I got this pink diary and it was a diary because there was a lock on it with a key. I promptly lost the key. So I used like a little screw nail thingy to open the lock because I felt like I still needed to lock it for whatever reason. But it was like the pink diary that was super sparkly and had pink bookmarks or whatever. So I would write in my diary a lot when I was a kid, and I would just like doodle in it and draw in it. And I loved, like, I've always kind of been a fan of writing, has kind of been, I just like enjoy writing. Like, I'm not creative in really any other facet of the, I don't know, human experience, I guess. I'm really bad at drawing. I'm really bad at painting. I don't sew or knit or do any of those other things. Like, I'm just not creative in those ways. But I would, like, write a lot, and I loved getting my thoughts out onto paper. So that was my first diary. I did promptly fill that one, like, actually fill it full. And then I got, like, a Harry Potter-themed one that I also filled completely. Like, I would write it in almost every single day. I would put in little clips, like, little images of little things, too, that would just be reminders of something fun that I had done or whatever. I was really... I journaled pretty much every day when I was like middle school through high school, I want to say.
Cool.
Like filled up that journal. I had another big one that was like even bigger than an 8x11. And I filled that one up too.
Wow.
And then I bought, when I got to college, I bought the one that I'm still on right now. that's just like has this gorgeous artwork on the front. It's like Tree of Life or something like that. I don't know. It's just like super colorful. And I'm on like page 3 of that one. And I bought that in like 2021. So maybe not page 3, but so it's funny. We kind of were the opposite where I was really, really into it. I loved doing it. That was like my me time, my reflection time at the end of the day. And I've kind of fallen off. Okay. Recently, I'm doing a little better. Like, I'll kind of do it more like once a week, whereas I went like months and months and months without for a really long time there.
Okay.
But
so at this point in your life, when you do write, what purpose does it serve for you?
Usually it is because I want to have time to process or reflect on something or... Because basically throughout my day, I have so many things that are grabbing at my attention, like my mental and emotional attention, that if there is something that I'm like, ooh, I want to like delve into that and like think about that more, but I just do not have time or energy to do that throughout the day.
Sure.
Journaling is that time to do that. If I'm like, oh, I think I have this unprocessed bundle of emotions about something that happened today, I think I would like to process through that and like just reflect on it. That is the perfect way where at the end of the day I can just sit and just like dump out my thoughts and feelings, and it is just like the way for me to like process through things. Whereas, because like I think I've said this on the pod before, but it feels like my brain is just like there's a million trains running at the same time, and the trains are always like about to just teeter and fall off at any moment. So in order for me to keep my any semblance of like stability throughout the day, if there's something I need to like process through and reflect on, I gotta like put it in the back and then do it later.
Sure. No, I get that.
So yeah, and as of lately, I kind of just like forget that journaling is an option. But when I do it, I'm like, oh, this is great. I should do this more often. So yeah, that's kind of what the purpose is for me.
Okay. Yeah. No, I think that makes sense. So here's what I have come to believe.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, believe is the word I'll use mm-hmm. as an adult who has started journaling late in life. And that is that I think journaling is like, I think it's one of the secret superpower habits we have as humans.
Yeah.
And again, as a kid, I didn't really understand what is the point of me writing about my day. My day was boring. That's dumb.
Right.
Like, and writing about my thoughts and feelings and emotions. And yeah, I'm sure I did after certain big things, but on a day-by-day basis, I was just like, I don't know, what am I doing? I don't know. I'm just write about what happened today.
Yeah.
Who cares about what happened to, you know, to me as a 13-year-old
or something
stupid like that. But so here's kind of the path that I went down. And again, we've talked about this on the podcast before, but I have the last few years kind of adopted the yearly theme concept.
Yeah.
And as opposed to say resolutions and stuff, we've talked about all that.
Yeah.
And as a part of the yearly theme, you know, Cortex brand does sell their theme system journal. And I got that and I kind of sort of wrote in them a few times last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I just didn't really, again, understand what I needed from it or what it was doing for me, but I sort of fell off.
Yeah.
As this year was coming and I was coming up with my theme for the year, I realized I really needed a better, more reliable way to keep myself honest.
Yeah.
And see how I was doing and make sure, because as I have heard said, and as I agree with, that which is not tracked will not change.
Yeah.
So if we want to make changes to ourselves, to our lives, to our habits, things like that, we've got to be tracking them, because it's so easy for us to forget. Did I do something? Did I not do something? Did I do it today? Did I do it yesterday? Did I just all of these little things? And so I wanted to really sort of focus on improving habits specifically and establishing habits. And one of the habits I said, well, I want to start journaling reliably. And I kind of figured out how I wanted to use the theme system journal. And the thing with the theme system journal is you don't just have a blank page, but you have a page that's split up into basically like four boxes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two smaller ones and then a larger one and then a smaller one.
Mm-hmm.
But I was kind of coming up with, how do I want to use this? What do I want to do in each section? And I came up with what I thought was a decent way. But then I realized that that wasn't quite enough. So I actually also journal at night. So I journal twice a day. I journal in the morning, writing by hand, been using my theme system journal. I actually created a template for my Supernote Nomad. So now I actually am doing it in that.
Oh, that's cool.
So I don't just have, you know, paper books that I'm filling up that I got to figure out. But I do it in the morning so that it's a little bit slower, a little bit more. It makes me, because I'm handwriting, I have to move a little slower.
Yeah.
But also I limit it to that one page. Mm-hmm. So I have to be a little bit more concise.
Yeah.
And it has a very specific purpose in the morning, what I do. At night, I actually do that digitally. I type, because I can type a lot faster than I can handwrite.
Yeah.
So I can get more processing done. So I guess what I would say is, for me in the morning, my handwritten journal is a very specific, intentional way for for me to set up, here is my conscious plan for the day.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I type so that it can come out faster, so that I can be like, here's me processing. Here's me dumping that stuff.
Yeah.
And actually in the evening, I have a lot more, like I actually have specific prompts.
Yeah.
Where it's like, what was the challenge? You know, when was I uncomfortable today? Mm-hmm. What can I learn from that? What was a win? What was a loss? What was, you know, kind of things for me to really think through my day and process. How did I do on certain things? What went well? What went bad? Celebrate some of those things. Reflect on that. In the morning, it involves gratitude and it involves sort of setting again, here's my conscious action for the day. Here's my intention for the day. And as I've been doing this now, and I've done it every single day since January 1, there's been a few days where maybe if I missed the morning journaling, I always still did the evening. Mm-hmm. I think there's one day I missed the evening journaling, but I had done the morning. So I've at least done one, if not both, almost every single day. And as I've done this, I've come to really rely on it as an opportunity for me to reflect.
Yeah.
And I think that lack of thought, lack of thoughtfulness, perhaps, lack of reflection, introspection, I think that's behind a lot of the.
Absolutely. I agree.
You know?
I agree.
Because people are just so reactive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if we're not taking time to sit down and say, okay, here's what I did today. What was good about that? What was bad about that? What should be better?
Right.
Then we don't have any way to measure and say, okay, I'm going to do better the next day.
Right.
I don't know. You talk about its ability to help you process, which again, I think is super important, but what benefits do you see in your life when you do that? You said that the times when you do it, you're like, oh my gosh, I should do this more.
Yeah. I also, I don't know. I feel like I'm in a very like, what's the word? Formative, I guess, time of my life the last few years have been.
Yeah.
And especially just in the last few years, I've just been like learning a lot about myself. I've been like working on my mental health a lot. I've been like figuring out what I want to do with like my career and like what's like important to me in life, like what my general priorities are in the grand scheme of like this life on earth.
Sure.
Like some very, very big.
As I said, those are big questions to ask.
And I already am a pretty like introspective and like self-reflective person, but there's only so much processing you can do when it is all in your own head.
Yeah.
Especially for me, which is why therapy is great for me, because half the time it's just me talking and then I just realize things as I'm talking. And then, you know, of course it's not just that, but a lot of the times like my therapist just knows it's like she just needs to sit here and process and I will guide a couple questions and then we'll get to the bottom of whatever it is. But most of the time I'll say something and then she's like, ding, ding, ding. And I'm like, oh, so I did already know what I need to do, but it just needed to be pulled out. So that is just kind of journaling. It's just like the way of just doing that, just non-verbally, I guess. Yeah. Like I will just be writing. And again, it's just like a brain dump. Like I'm not trying to structure anything really, because I've tried to before where I've tried to like kind of go throughout my day and specifically think of the things that I enjoyed or things that went wrong, but I found that just didn't super work for me. I kind of just tend to do better just to just word vomit on the page. And again, especially with just like things with my mental health and stuff like that in the last couple of years, it's just been, if I can just word vomit for a while, I usually come to some sort of conclusion. whether or not I'm doing it with the purpose of finding a conclusion, or if it was just like a, like, for example, if I'm just super anxious about certain things throughout the day, and again, I just have anxiety. So sometimes those things that are making me anxious do not need to make me anxious for various reasons.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
But I also have done this thing where I trained myself to, if I'm anxious about things, then I will succeed. So then therefore in my head, oh, I have to be anxious in order to do well.
Oh.
My brain thinks if I'm not anxious, I will fail. If I'm not anxious, I will do poorly, because every time I am anxious, I succeed. If I panic and freak out and study for hours and hours and hours on end for an exam and then it does well, I train my mind to be like, that's what you have to do for every exam now.
That's why you did well, because you panicked and freaked out. Because
I panicked and I freaked out and I had however X number of panic attacks and had this horrible pit in my stomach for days on end and whatever. So as I've kind of been, again, I'm trying to, as my therapist always says, she says this so gently, she goes, so what if you just don't freak out? She goes, what if you just challenge that? So as I'm trying to challenge that within myself, sometimes, like, again, I have all these thoughts and feelings and emotions and things throughout the day, and I just do not have time to sit and, like, logic my way out of whatever feeling I'm feeling, or just, like, sit and process it and be like, okay, why am I anxious? Let's figure this out. Like, I don't have that time or energy, really, because I just have so many other things demanding my attention all the time.
Sure, sure.
So at the end of the day, if I can just sit and just brain vomit and just be like, you know, any thought that comes to my mind, whatever my emotions are, how I can maybe, what things have worked in the past that can help me get out of this funk or whatever. Again, that was just one of the examples, but just dumping it all. And then at the end, I'm like, okay, I can breathe. I let that all out. It is not pent up inside of me anymore. And now that it's there, I'm like, oh,
yeah.
A nice sigh of relief. And I think I have, obviously that's a bit of a more like, grander of magnitude of thing, but there are lots of just things that I'm trying to improve and work on throughout my life that I think if I just brain dumped about certain things, like, I think I'll just be able to process things a little bit more and just have that kind of sigh of relief to be like, oh, this thing I've been wanting to do or wanting to think about, wanting to process through, okay, now I did, and now I can, you know, have a path forward sort of thing. Yeah. Even for like little things. Like little habits.
You know, you talked about therapy, and I as soon as you said it, I thought to myself, oh, this is like kind of my therapy. One of the other things, there's a couple things that you mentioned that I just want to briefly discuss more. And that is, whereas for me, I've found benefit in having kind of a structure to how I'm journaling.
Yeah.
I do still have a section at the end that's like just whatever, mm-hmm. then can be my word vomit. But that's what works for me.
Yeah.
And that's not going to be what works for everyone else.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest things that bothers me is, look, we all know all you got to do, search for something once on YouTube, and you're just going to get it like just shoved down your throat. It makes me think of this clip, and I don't even remember. Like, I think it's an old Godzilla, but basically it's either Godzilla or some other monster has a tree and is like slamming it down the other monster's throat. And that's what it kind of feels like YouTube is trying to do to us, right? And as a result, I'm curious. And so I've watched a lot of videos on YouTube that have a lot of views, you know, in the tens to hundreds of thousands range, mm-hmm. about the perfect journaling method, the ultimate journaling method, and all this stuff. And I came away from it all slightly, I know this is going to sound crazy, people, bothered by something I found on the internet.
What?
Right?
What?
What?
You were what? You were bothered.
I mean, come on. No, but what I was bothered by is people finding something that works for them.
Yeah.
And then making the assumption that that's what works for everyone.
Yeah, and that is law. That is the way.
Yeah, and so what I came away from all this going is, no, journaling is such, should be, in my opinion, mm-hmm. if journaling is going to work and be an effective tool in an individual's life, mm-hmm. it absolutely must be an intensely personal thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Which means that my method, I can share it, mm-hmm. and somebody could go, I want to try X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
And maybe it works and maybe it doesn't. Great.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that it's the best way.
Right.
Because it works for me doesn't mean you should even necessarily try it. If you're curious, you should. If you're not, you should listen to it and go, here's why I don't know that that's going to work for me. Or here's one part of these X number of things, and I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
And people need to be comfortable with it being an intensely personal thing.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, some of the things I journal and some of the prompts that I created 4.5 months ago, mm-hmm. I've changed or I've added yeah. to or I've abandoned.
Right.
Because as I used it, I went, nah, that part's not working for me.
Yeah.
And if we have told ourselves, this creator who has hundreds of thousands or millions of followers on the internet says that this, that X, Y, or Z is the perfect system and it's not working for me.
Right.
We have the innate tendency to think that we're the problem.
Yes.
We're not the problem.
Yes.
The system's the problem.
Yes.
Because the system has to be your own.
Yep. Yep.
And so I cannot emphasize that enough. The system has to be your own.
Yep.
And it needs to be whatever works for you. And we all have to be willing and comfortable to experiment and to try something and go, that didn't work. Or to try something that we don't think is going to work and go,
yeah.
Well, let's try it first before we rule it out all the way.
Right.
And so I think that's big recommendation I would make.
Yeah.
The final thing that I wanted to mention, and I think this is really interesting. You were talking about understanding who you are, you know, where you fit into this great big world and life and mm-hmm. all this kind of stuff. And I'm so glad that you are asking those questions now.
Yeah.
Because I'm asking those questions now.
Yeah.
And I'm almost 50. And I start
thinking.
I thought
you were 38.
Yeah. Nice. I'm 48. You dirtbag.
Well, when you were turning 48, and what did Hayden say? He was like, oh, so that means your dad's turning 48. And I was like, he's not 48. I was like, don't say that. And I was like, don't say that about my dad.
And you're like, oh, wait a second.
And then you were like, no, I am. I was like, oh, my
you're
bad.
Like, yeah, no, that's how the math works out.
I was like, oop.
But, and I think about this, I'm not going to dwell on the fact that I'm almost 50 and finally asking these big questions of who am I?
Right.
Because that doesn't help.
Right.
That's not useful in any way. But I think the reason is for so much of my life, I was focused at the expense of almost everything else, not who do I want to become,
mm-hmm.
but it was what do I want. You know, it was like I grew up and it was like, okay, I'm gonna go on a mission. I'm going to be a missionary.
Yeah.
Okay, so I go and I be a missionary. And then I come home and then it's like, I want to go to medical school. So I've got to start. And I'm like,
yep.
Get in school and work hard and get married and start having a family. And then it's like, okay, now it's medical school because I want to be a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So then I've got to get my bachelor's. Now I have to go into medical school. Now mm-hmm. I have to go and do a residency. And now all of a sudden it's like, boom, congratulations, you're a doctor.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, but now I got to actually be a doctor.
Right.
And it's so much time and energy figuring out, especially in the kind of screwed up situation that I stepped into where I am
right.
practicing medicine, where so much of this was just, how can I be a good doctor?
Yeah.
That I didn't have time to think of, but not just what do I want to be,
mm-hmm.
which is a doctor, which I love.
Yeah.
But it's who do I want to become?
Yeah.
Who am I?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know so many physicians mm-hmm. whose entire identity is wrapped up in being a physician.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be that.
Yeah.
I tell people when people try and they call me Dr. Jones and I'm not at work, and I'll specifically, like, happened yesterday. I ran into a guy, he's in charge of the outpatient surgery center. You know, he's a nurse and he's a great guy. And his kid was doing the triathlon yesterday, just like Gareth was.
Yeah.
And he came up to me and he said, oh, hey, Dr. Jones. And I just said to him, I said, dude, no. I'm like, it's Peter.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people will be like, well, why don't you want me to call you Dr. Jones? And my answer is, doctor's what I do.
Yeah.
Peter is who I am.
Yeah.
And now, is being a doctor part of who I am?
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But is that my defining characteristic? I hope not.
Yeah.
And so for me, at this middle age of my life, kind of on the other half of the middle age of my life, sadly.
Middle.
Okay. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm like finally going, no, I need, like, who am I?
Yeah.
Who am I? Who do I want to be? What do I care about? Listen, folks, that's why we do this podcast in part, because this is something I listen to a lot of podcasts and I thought to myself, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And that's why I do the one with Eden.
Yeah.
And it's why I've written 3 books.
Yeah.
And it's why I do so many of the things I do, because I'm like, I don't want to just be a doctor.
Yeah.
I want to be Peter and I want to have all of these interests and I want to encompass them. And I'm realizing that thinking about what am I doing each day and how does that fit into my different roles, then I'm able to become the person that I want to become.
Yeah.
And for me, like, journaling is probably one of the very most important tools on that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't know, I'm going to throw this out there and just say, anybody who's listening to this, try it. Try it. Figure out what works for you. And maybe you're writing in a nice fancy journal. You get a journal that looks beautiful and a nice pen that writes well. And maybe that creates an experience where you go, ah, this does something for me and connects me to it. Great.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to do it on a digital device. There's tons of different ways that you can digitally, I mean, every digital device has a way you can just do notes and you can make those notes on, again, in the year 2025, you can make all of those things private. So still they're protected and they're safe. There's great software designed specifically for it. Maybe you want to dictate. Maybe you want to talk. Like, there are times where I'll do that.
Absolutely.
When I do like my bigger quarterly reviews, it's a lot of information. So I actually dictate those more than I do type those.
Yeah.
Because then I can process and I can get through that.
Yeah.
Just find some way where you can set aside time in your day or your week. Honestly, I would not do it any less frequently than on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
But find a way where you'll set aside time and go, this is when I'm going to reflect.
Yeah.
And you've got to get it out of your head. It can't just be, I'm going to sit and think.
No.
You've got to get it out of your head so that you can have the thought, you can write it down or note it somehow.
Yep.
And actually get it out of your brain. So now you can have the thought that comes after that.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
I think it's wow. It has become almost a transformative thing for me over these last few months, where I've just been very, very dedicated to it and made it a priority that I have become a real believer in its ability, and a little sad that I didn't understand this sooner.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's okay. No regrets.
Yeah. And honestly,
we go from where we're at and we go forward.
You might have, I'm a nice believer of like everything happens for a reason in the timing that it was meant to be, sort of thing. In regards to just like doing things like that, there's things with me too that I'm like, oh, I wish I'd gotten on that earlier. But I feel like maybe even for you, you just wouldn't have been in a place where you would have even wanted to, you know, like
totally
you just
possible.
Didn't get to the place where you were like, this is something important enough to me that I want to make this a habit until the time that you did. And so maybe it wouldn't have been successful beforehand.
Yeah.
And then maybe you would have fallen off and wouldn't have continued to where you are now, honestly.
That's entirely true.
And honestly, I think I'm glad you mentioned the dictating too, because I think there's something something so valuable of even just, either talking it out or writing it down or something, but having it still be there, like dictating, so you're, you know, text to type or whatever, so that you have it and you can go back and read it later. But then there's so many ways to do that, you know, like talking with your friends is one thing, like talking about your, I'm a talkative guy. I will yap about my feelings if someone will let me, you know, but there is like, it is just so important to have that written down, because then you feel like you have either like a starting point or you have a little checkpoint, like every night, you know, you do your little reflection, then you're like, okay, I did that. And now I can move to the next thing, or I move forward with whatever the thing is that I'm working on or whatever. But I think just being introspective in any sort of way is very important in today's day and age.
It's true.
And we live in a society, whatever. 'cause I just think there's so many things that I'm like, maybe if this person just talked about their feelings or wrote their feelings down, they wouldn't be this sort of person.
Right.
Like, maybe if we just, you know, it's the whole toddlers, like, and did that make you feel bad? Oh, that made you feel bad. So let's not do that anymore, mm-hmm. sort of thing. Like, and I think there's something that, especially with like men being raised in sort of patriarchal society, where it's like, you can have feelings, but lock those inside because you're not allowed to feel them.
I almost think you're being too generous when you say you can have feelings. I know
you can't have feelings.
I grew up in an environment where certain people would have just argued. I mean, I was told as a teenager, mm-hmm. when I was moody and hormonal and maybe a little depressed, mm-hmm. and stuff, I literally was told by my father, whom I love and is a very good man, have you tried just being happy? I wish I was joking.
Oh, that's a good one.
Have you tried just not being sad?
Have you tried just? Oh, man. No, and it just is such like a huge trend, unfortunately, where, and not just men, but everybody is just like, you're not allowed to be emotional. And if you have feelings, well, don't talk to me about them because you need to be professional and do whatever you're supposed to do and be whatever you wanted to become, you know, whatever.
Well, look, I'm the chief of urology. I'm in charge of the service line.
Yeah.
I'm in charge of my clinic. And I'll be totally honest with you, and maybe this is unfair of me, but I don't feel like I'm allowed to have bad days at work.
Yeah, well, and that's,
when I
yeah.
do, everybody's like, "Oh my gosh, what's wrong?"
Right?
Or they're like, right. "They're like, oh, why is Dr. Jones grumpy today?" You know, stuff like that. And I'm like, "Because I'm a human, damn it!"
Right, right. Like, it's not like you're gonna wake up peachy keen every day.
But so, like, I mean, and that's, you know, that's me at this stage of my life going, "No, it still kind of exists."
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think it's especially very just so prominent for cis men, I think, who it's just like, you can't have feelings. If you talk about them, like, you're a wuss. You just mm-hmm. need to lock it up and just go on with your day and suck it up, basically. Mm-hmm. And I think that is stupid. And journaling, I mean, that's a very like light way. I think it's much more bad words than just stupid. But I think journaling is a very, very good way to kind of, especially people who are bad at talking about their feelings, or therapy is uncomfortable for them, or just talking about their feelings is uncomfortable with people, I think journaling is the absolute perfect way to do that, because no one's going to read that. You can make that right. as private as you want to, and you can do it in whatever format you want to, and you can make it just, make it your own little ritual where you just think about your little feelings, think about your thoughts and whatever, and you can process all your stuff, and then it just makes you so much more, you can just kind of like emotionally regulate yourself a little better when you know what you're feeling. Turns out.
It's incredible. Isn't that wild how it works that way?
And I really need to get on a little bit more, I think, because especially where this specific year, there's so many things happening, like graduating and moving, getting married, all, you know, everything. Again, it's like both things. I want to make more time for journaling, but I also have way less time for journaling because I just have so many things happening. And so when I do have free time, I'm like, I don't want to talk about my feelings. I don't want to write about my feelings. I just want to lay down
I hear you.
And watch a YouTube video and go to bed.
Yeah.
But it is super, super valuable. So do you have a way you can connect your morning and evening notes too? Like, do you upload everything into one sort of thing, or do you have like your morning and then your evening ones?
So I have my morning notes that, again, they're handwritten right now in a digital notebook, which does sync. So I have all those PDFs mm-hmm. on my computer, and it would be very easy to like drag and drop them if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
My evening journaling I do in Day One, which is an app that I like.
Yeah.
So I don't worry about syncing them right now.
Mm-hmm.
I've toyed around with that idea. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see where I go from there. Well, any other thoughts on that before we go to your Astro fact.
I think I'm good. Let me whip out my app thingy. Here we go. All right, is everybody ready for this?
So ready.
So ready. Okay. As everything that is with astronomical sciences, take it with a grain of salt, I guess, because the reality is, as I've gone throughout this major, is that we know nothing. And we will never know anything.
Yeah.
And time isn't real and space isn't real and we're not real. So that's where I'm at. So here is this article. So we have detected the most promising signs yet of possible biosignature outside the solar system.
Can I just briefly mention that I saw this headline and I thought to myself, yeah, right. So I didn't even bother clicking. So I'm glad you brought this to the table.
So, and of course, they say the most promising signs yet of possible biosignature. Okay, well, most promising is not, does not mean we actually found signs.
Right.
This is promising. It also says signs. It's not actual evidence. And it also says possible. And it also says in the article title, although they remain cautious. So, although they, let's just, again, so many grains of salt, a pound of salt even, a salt brick, take this with a salt brick. So, the what they detected is chemical fingerprints of DMS, dimethyl sulfide, and slash or dimethyl disulfide, DMDS, in the atmosphere of an exoplanet which orbits its star in the habitable zone, same as Earth. DMS and DMDS are only produced by life on Earth. On Earth, they're only produced by life. Primarily microbial life, like marine phytoplankton.
Okay.
And there could be, again, an unknown chemical process that could be the source of these molecules in the atmosphere, but they are the strongest signs yet that life could exist on a planet outside the solar system. However, another caveat here. The observations have reached what's called the 3 sigma level of statistical significance, meaning that there is a 0.3% probability that they occurred by chance. And in order for us to accept this as a, like, to reach the accepted classification for scientific discovery, the observation have to cross a 5 sigma threshold, which means below a 0.00006% probability that they occurred by chance. So we are orders of magnitude off.
So we're like, what, 100,000?
Yeah.
100,000 times off?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So we're following up, of course. They're doing follow-up observation time with James Webb Space Telescope to see if they can reach the 5 sigma significance. I doubt it, though. This planet is 8.6 times as massive and 2.6 as, like, radii as large as Earth. And it lies 124 light years away in the constellation of Leo. So, again, it's just really far away. And it's a very weak signal. And we are 100,000 times off of the probability that we need in order for this to be an accepted scientific discovery. This is from a journal I do trust, though, so... I do trust this.
I mean, at the very least, again, nobody's saying we found life outside of our solar system.
They are just saying that they may be found possibly, perchance, maybe DM and DMS and DMDS that, in the that, atmosphere.
That we maybe found those things that maybe could be possibly a sign.
Right, right, exactly. So that's the big news.
You know, I look at this and I go, the universe is way too big for us to just be the only ones out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In my cosmology class I took last semester, cosmology is like, it's hard to describe the study of what it is, but it's the study of everything.
Okay.
Like we mapped out all the events that occurred from the Big Bang all the way up until now. In regards to like how the molecules and things, you know, came to be and whatever, and how galaxies started forming and everything like that. And yeah, it's just way too big and it's way too old for us to be the only ones.
That's what
but
I think too.
We're just not technologically advanced enough. So.
Well, that was interesting. Yeah. Like I say, I saw it. I was dubious enough that I didn't bother to read, but
yep.
But yeah. So we'll be back in another couple of weeks. It was good to chat with you in person, Aubrey. Glad you could be here.
Absolutely.
And if anybody has any thoughts, go ahead and reach out at feedback@generations.fm. And we'll be back in another 2 weeks.
Okay, see ya.